Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can solve. Greetings, beloved. This is Sister Judith, and I thank you for joining me today on the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. On yesterday's broadcast, I promised that I would share what New Testament offerings the believer priests will be able to offer to the Lord. Yesterday, we looked about the fact that under the Old Covenant, priests were set aside to fulfill the daily sacrifices, to fulfill and maintain the work of the tabernacle. But beloved, we today have a tremendous privilege of being kings and priests unto our God, as it says in Revelation, the first chapter. So let's look at some ways that we, you and I, can minister to God as a priest. Well, the first way we can do that is by offering a living sacrifice. What am I talking about? What Romans 12 and 1 tells us. This is not a dead offering to God. It is a living sacrifice. He's talking about the sacrifice of our physical bodies, holy, acceptable unto God, which Paul says is your reasonable service. And if we offer our body, then that means our mental capabilities, our mind, our emotions, well, even though it is a separate function, our soul is, yet it is definitely connected and contained within the body. So if we can get our body to be surrendered to God, more than likely the rest of us will be as well. So that's what God is wanting, that we will offer to Him that living sacrifice. And then the second offering we can offer, Scripture tells us, is the sacrifice of our material blessings and non-tangible things like time. But to do good and to communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. God said in Isaiah, the 56th chapter, verse 7, even them will I bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices shall be accepted upon mine altar, for mine house shall be called an house of prayer for all people. And then thirdly, we are told that as God's priests, all believers should offer the sacrifice of praise. And beloved, that should be on a daily basis. Hebrews 13 and 15 states, by him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks unto his name. And now, to be very practical about it, there's times, of course, we can't be singing literally with our lips, but there we can make melody unto our heart in the melody unto the Lord in our heart. Within us, we can have an attitude of praise, an attitude of prayerfulness. Just like the scripture tells us to pray without ceasing, well, there's times our mind has to focus on certain things, but it's the attitude of prayer, sensing and being aware of the Lord's presence and seeking to please Him and to be obedient to the leading of the Holy Spirit. This glorious privilege of the sacrifice of praise should be certainly individually operating in our lives, but also collectively. One of the tragedies that we find in many churches is the lack of collective worship. Collective worship is simply a time in which believers have the liberty to take part in praising God together in a church service or in a home meeting. But in a lot of places, myriads of church services, including many Pentecostal or charismatic services, this collective public praise has been practically eliminated due to scheduling preferences or priorities, if you will. And the results have really been catastrophic in the church. Instead of a people a nation of priests praising God, giving the sacrifice of praise, we have spiritually become dumb priests who don't praise God. And I personally know, I mean, it's been a number of years since UCM had regular services, but we had a local church and many outreach crusades in the San Francisco Bay Area, down into Fresno, Washington, Oregon. And sometimes, at least in our home church, we would be accused of going too long. Well, not for those who really love God. Sometimes our worship services were close to an hour, but we would wait on the Lord. There'd be prophetic words, gift of tongues, and it was one of the most precious parts of the service. And what we see today, I know when I left Duck Valley, I came back to Tracy, I church hopped because I didn't have a local congregation and knew that even as a minister, I belonged in a local fellowship. Why? Because the Word tells us to. We need the ministry of the Word. We need one another. But I was shocked as I would sit sort of in the back, and I would see during the worship service, the worship team might be trying to praise God with all their heart. There's overhead transparencies, and people are sitting back in their seats with their arms crossed. Nobody's standing. Nobody's lifting hands to the Lord. It was a spectator sport, if you will, and I thought, what has happened? I remember my husband used to say when he was alive, back in Oklahoma, that's where his roots were, the whole congregations, I mean, he'd go with a pastor at 4:30 in the morning to pray, the whole congregation packed to the doors. They would be there on prayer meetings, and the praise would be heavenly. In fact, like he never heard praise like that was offered in those early days when he was a very young man and a worship leader. People would just praise God on their feet, hands raised. That's what God is longing for. And beloved, we're really robbing God when we don't offer that kind of worship, because we are priests. As we look at Galatians, the fifth chapter, that's an important chapter. It talks about the body of Christ, really, and there's warnings: if you bite and devour one another, take heed that you not be consumed one another. And then Paul says, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. They are contrary one to another, so that you cannot do the things that you would. But if you be led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. Then he goes on to list the works of the flesh. I won't take that time to do it. Then he goes on to itemize, if you will, the nine fruit of the Spirit. And that's not plural, you know, it's fruit. It's the character of Christ. And let me read verses 24 to 26, and they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vain glory, provoking one another, envying one another. Romans 8 and 14 states, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Now we are, beloved, priests as believers. That's our status. And we're only doing a warm-up now. This is only a rehearsal. Wait till we get into eternity. Hallelujah. We get to join the angels. By then, we'll have beautiful voices. We probably can play any kind of instrument. At least that's my delightful fantasy. And I know we can make a joyful noise. There, it will be beautiful beyond description. But it is true that every one of us, every Christian, has to have a priest. We are priests, but we also have to have a priest. And I'm not speaking as the Roman Catholic Church. We do have a priest. And you know who that is? The Lord Jesus Christ. He is our great high priest. In too many places, we have churches who represent the types and shadows of the Old Testament, when we ought to have spiritual priests, ministers of the new covenant, offering spiritual sacrifices to God. So let's just get to the bottom line. What does God want from his body, from his church, the one church? He doesn't want spiritual shadows. He wants spiritual priests made up of a local body with Spirit-filled, regularly well-attended services, people who love God and find it's important to be in the congregation of the saints, and members also who are practical helpers. That's the point of fivefold ministry, because there's a beautiful assortment and arrangement of tremendous gifts within God's people. We who are co-workers with the pastor in the harvest field of the world, we need to have churches where members are willing to work hard daily to build the church in prayer and to fulfill whatever vision the pastor might have, to preach the gospel by maybe a street ministry, distributing tracts, personal witness in local, national, worldwide crusades, whatever the vision God has given that ministry, and also through the medium of radio and television. This is our call. God, a true God-called shepherds, anyone in fivefold ministry has a vision from God as to their particular calling, their responsibility, their part to equip the body of Christ. And people whom God has made a steward of his property and who will be willing once and for all to obey God and do what God has opened for them to do. I've shared from time to time when I first came to the Lord and I've sat in Brother Glass's services and I felt, I felt qualified to do nothing, but I knew I could clean the church, and that's how it all started for me. A church whose members' hearts are filled with the love of Christ, where everyone should try to help the other by mutual care and concern in the Holy Spirit. Services should not be a place where you have to force yourself to go. If you do, then perhaps you ought to pray about where God wants you. Church should be an exciting, wonderful place to look forward to, because you're going to meet with God and the Holy Spirit is going to have freedom to move. That's God's heart for his people. And it is where you can joyfully, expectantly look forward to being and just delighting in being in the fellowship of the saints. Why? Because you can corporately and collectively praise the Lord. And I have said from time to time, there is nothing like the corporate anointing. You can praise God and just be carried away in the Spirit, but it is nothing like corporate praise. And I say that as a worship leader of many years. Just as one rose is beautiful, a dozen roses are even more beautiful. One child of God's praise is beautiful, but a building full of royal priests praising God are even more beautiful. Well, beloved, just a short message, but I trust I've stirred you to be more fervent and excited about your role as a priest and a king unto our God. Remember those spiritual sacrifices that you can do. And one of them is praying, and I would certainly appreciate your prayers. I always invite you to pray for this ministry, also to share your prayer requests. This is a major portion of the ministry of prayer and correspondence. I love you. I pray for you every day, my radio family, my UCM partners. We wouldn't be here. We wouldn't be anywhere if it wasn't for our partners who have the vision of the unveiled Christ to the world. God bless you. I love you. And until next time, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless. Oh,